Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is The Big Breakdown. A long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Good morning. You got me today. Robin is out here. We'll be back tomorrow. Lindsay Clancy is on trial in Plymouth for the deaths of Cora Dawson and Cal and her three children. And nobody's arguing about who did it. The whole fight is whether she knew what she was doing. And prosecutors say the answer is all over her phone. That's the big thing, her phone. Because she checked where her husband was going when he went to get takeout. That means she's a criminal mastermind who wanted to murder her children. We're going to break all this down, and we're going to try and understand it from every perspective here. If you've been watching the coverage, you know what I feel about this already. But we're going to talk about it from the prosecution standpoint. That's actually where we're going to start first. And we're going to talk about it from the defense standpoint. And we're also going to talk about it for what does justice actually look like in a case like this. Joining me today to do all that, it's Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries, wherever you get podcasts and on YouTube. Bob, I know you guys are covering this extensively over on Defense Diaries, and we are as well over here. Let's just start with where a lot of the prosecution, you know, they're seeming to hang their hat. Trial's not even started as of yet, but where we're seeing a lot of the noise come out of. She texted him at 4:53 that she didn't feel like cooking. They ordered dinner at 5:10. He left at 5:15. Prosecutors say that she checked how long the drive was while he went out to get takeout, and that's when she acted. And they're saying, well, if she was out of her mind, how does she pull that off by looking at the app and seeing where her husband is? Well, I mean, the idea of what someone is when they're out of their mind, there's the movie version and there's the real life version, and they don't look exactly the same. People don't understand that a person that is in a psychotic state can seem normal on the outside. But I guess you've been in courtrooms your entire life, and having a jury try to understand some of these kind of basic psychological principles of human beings, will a jury understand that, Bob?
I mean, that is the million-dollar question, and that's why, frankly, to me, this is probably one of the most important cases to come along in probably the last two decades, because it's really putting not just Lindsey Clancy on trial, but it's also putting the healthcare industry on trial. It's putting Big Pharma on trial, because that's going to be the defense. And to your pointed question, I think – and we'll probably see it in the chat. And I just want to say that obviously I'm destroyed that those three little beautiful babies lost their life. Like, I think we all agree that that is beyond the pall. It's the most horrific thing. And it was at the hand of the person that biologically is supposed to protect those children more than any other person on the planet. So it's a very, very hard thing for people to kind of look at this case and say, wow, I'm willing to keep an open mind, which is all I'm ever asking anybody to do with this case, which is listen to the evidence. Try to learn a bit about mental health and try to learn a little bit about SSRIs. Try to learn a little bit about psychosis and what it really is, and then come to a decision on this case. And it's just human nature is going to make it very, very difficult for people to do that because of the babies. You know, when you have that type of loss at the hand of the mother, people are coming into that courtroom as potential jurors feeling a certain way about it. And they're not wrong to feel that way about it.
Yeah.
Because at first blush, it's so shocking that it's impossible for you to kind of put that aside. And we're always talking about that on your show, and I'm with you on our show all the time. You know, emotion has no place in the courtroom. As cold and shitty as that sounds, that's the reality of it. We have to deal with the facts and the evidence and the law. That's it. We can't allow for emotions to rule the day and make our decisions in those courtrooms in terms of verdicts based on what we're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a very tall task for the defense. I mean, they don't call, and they call it lack of criminal responsibility in Massachusetts, as opposed to not guilty by reason of insanity. So it's the same beast, different name. And lawyers call that the defense of last resort for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It is very, very difficult to get people to understand and appreciate and accept those things that are being told in court as fact, when the end result of it is that they have to utter the words not guilty because she lacked the criminal responsibility because of her state of her mind. It's a very, very hard row to hoe, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to get people to see things in black and white. And that seems to be the goal of the prosecution here in this case. Not much of a gray area being presented, which is where reality really exists in this case. You know, in asking 18 jurors here to come and get on the same page is a stiff request, I think, in either direction, quite honestly. This would be a case we'd not be shocked if we have a hung jury.
Yeah.
Why is the state so reluctant to focus on medical facts and psychology, understood psychology of how these sort of things work, to understand what happened in this case? I mean, are they bound by something that they have to prosecute her at this level because of the crime in this state? Or is this something where the DA looking at this is just not as in tune with the depths and the sad realities of what something like postpartum psychosis actually looks like? Because this is a case where she went to such lengths to get help, and she was drugged 50 different ways to Tuesday from her doctors that couldn't find a way to communicate with the other one on what they're putting her on. This is like such a, to me, it's a pillar example of the medical system screwing up when someone is begging for help and then blaming the victim after they drugged the shit out of her. And I said, see, you did horrible, crazy things. You're an evil woman. This is not that. No. I don't understand. I mean, it's pretty black and white to me in that area of who did what. The state knows that. The DA knows that. Why go pedal to the metal going after this woman who says, yes, I did this, but here's why. Why are they pushing this so hard, Bob?
I mean, the only thing that you can kind of land on is they're bending to the will of the people.
Yeah.
And again, it's always going to fall back on the fact that, you know, those three beautiful little kids lost their lives at the hand of their mother. And if you were to pull just the public at large without telling them anything about the facts of the case, without informing them anything about what Lindsay Clancy tried to accomplish in terms of getting herself right mentally. And you just told them kind of the factual scenario of what happened. You know, people are going to be inclined to want justice for those kids.
Sure.
And they don't care that it's the mother, and they don't care what may have drove her to do it. You know, that it's just one of those things. We live in a very eye for an eye society.
Mm-hmm.
And selling the concept that somebody could do something like this while in a state of psychosis, wherein the state is coming and rebutting it, but saying, well, she couldn't have been psychotic. Mm-hmm. Like she was Googling restaurants. She was buying herself time. Like you can't be psychotic and do those things, but yes, you can.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, and ultimately at the end of the day, it's going to boil down to whether or not the lawyers can convince. And Kevin Reddington is a fantastic criminal defense attorney. I mean, the guy, if you're going to watch the trial, which I suggest is hard of a trial as this is going to be to watch. And yeah, it's going to be all of that because you're going to be, it's a very triggering trial, but it's an important trial because it's long overdue that our mental health and our health system in this country and big pharma is put on trial. And believe me, that's going to be happening here. This woman was failed. Not just this woman, those children, husband, the in-laws, her mother, everybody was failed. Because this wasn't, as you said, T, you talked about it.
Yeah.
This wasn't a woman who was secreting away the fact that she was going mad.
No. And I want to get to that when we get to talking about what justice looks like in this a little bit later in our conversation. But you're exactly right. I mean, there's so much failing that went on here. Another factor is we're talking about the prosecution and what they're bringing to the table in this case. 3 months before, she allegedly wrote on her phone that she sort of regretted her older kids. Again, this is not a healthy mind that is making these sort of statements, these sort of thoughts, expressing these sort of thoughts. Anyone who's been with someone or anyone who's had postpartum depression, this is postpartum psychosis. It pushes it way the hell beyond. It's like off the spectrum. It's so much more severe. But it seems, you know, you're going to have little tells, little things like that, little statements like that from a mother who is otherwise loving and devoted to her children. Making statements like that is not a healthy brain. Does that help or hurt the case that this was seemingly an ongoing problem of her being disconnected mentally from her children, making statements like that? Does that help her with the jury?
In it does when it's taken in conjunction with the medical experts that the defense is going to be putting on in terms of explaining this to the jury. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's the real purpose of expert witnesses. And if you have good ones, and I hope that they do, I hope that they've hired the best of the best.
Yeah.
Because you need people that are able to articulate in a way that lay people can understand and have it resonate truly, deeply with them. Mm-hmm. What is going on with the human mind in this particular situation? And because like getting over that hump, you know, because look, on our channel, we went through, there's a civil suit that was filed on behalf of Lindsay against all the medical providers and the facilities that they worked in. Okay. And we went through the entire complaint. Rosemary Scapiccio, who is one of the most outstanding post-conviction lawyers in the country, decided to take this on, and she's handling the civil side of this. And her breakdown of exactly Lindsay's journey, starting with, because she had postpartum when they had their second child. Mm-hmm. It didn't reach the levels that it did when she had Callan. But it was much worse when it hit the third time.
Yeah.
And she realizes it, and she knows, and she's telling her husband, she's telling her mother, she's telling her mother-in-law, like, I can't function. And it was initially, there was a state of mania that she was in, wherein after she had the baby, she was exercising like maniacally. Within 2 weeks, she had like entered a 5K, like after giving birth. Like it was a state of mania.
Yeah.
And no one in terms of the treaters asked about that, because when they're looking at it in terms of bipolar, and an onset of bipolar in conjunction with the postpartum depression. So she had two things going on. And whether or not it was the medication itself or it was you know, kind of pharmaceutical toxicity poisoning. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened with her when they first gave her the Zoloft to help her sleep because she couldn't sleep, and it had the opposite effect.
Yeah.
Like it made everything worse. She was feeling way more anxious. She couldn't sleep at all. And as she continued to try to treat and she would see that what they were giving her wasn't working, she would move on to a different facility. Now, like, you know, and I've seen people, and she's a nurse. Like
yeah.
She's a prenatal, she's a labor yeah. nurse.
And let me ask you about, I mean, how do you think that affects how the jury sees her? Because the prosecution's going to take this and go, see, she knows how to work the system. She's part of the system. If anybody should know how to express to a doctor that she's having these problems clearly and effectively, it's her. How do you counter that?
Because she did.
Exactly.
Everything that she did, like that's what she did when something wasn't working, she moved on to the next provider, hoping that they could get it right. This is the way that I try to explain this case to people.
Yeah.
All right. You've got Patrick Clancy, who was her husband at the time and the father of all three of those children. And he is going to be testifying on his wife's behalf. This very same woman that took his children's lives. That in and of itself is incredibly powerful because you need to put yourself in that position. If there was any part of you as the husband and the father of those children that thought there was something else going on, that this was something that there was a grander plan, that she had another man on the side, that she no longer wanted to be married to Patrick and be a mom anymore. If there was any thought of that at all, you would know that that man would not be sitting there testifying on behalf of his wife in this trial. And that is what's happening here. Everybody that knows her, she was a loving, doting mother, even when she was fighting through the postpartum depression. Like Patrick is saying, like, even though we knew that she was going through it, it still never affected the love that she was displaying and showing with the children.
No.
So, you know, like anything, when her mind starts to go wrong, she's not hiding it. She's telling her providers, and she she ends up going to four different facilities.
Yeah.
And none of them are speaking to one another in terms of their treatment plans. It's like, if we had the time, I would sit here and read through about 40 paragraphs of this complaint because it lays it out perfectly but watch the trial. This is what the defense is going to be. And this entire case for the state rests on that thing that you said in the open. Mm-hmm. This concept that she planned, that it was premeditated. Mm-hmm. Like this, like that's the hurdle that's going to be so difficult for the defense and their experts to get people to get over, which is that people just have the movie version, like you were saying, of what psychosis is. And that's not reality. Movies are not reality.
Yeah.
You can be absolutely psychotic, and it is not a 24/7 symptom heavy situation wherein you can't function normally at any point during the day. That's not how it works.
No.
That is not how it works. And you know, when you have the auditory hallucinations, wherein it's the voice, the mm-hmm. deep male voice, commanding voice, telling her, you know, the things that she's saying that it was saying to her, which again, it's going to come out at trial that this is not something that was a mystery to anybody. Like she was trying to get it fixed, and all they kept doing was pumping her with drugs, and the Seroquel, when they gave it to her, when they finally diagnosed her with the onset bipolar, is what put her over the edge. And I can tell you that when they gave my 82-year-old father Seroquel to try to help him sleep, that within 46 or 48 hours, he came up. He's like, I cannot take this. This makes me feel like I'm crazy. He's like, the racing thought, like I've seen so many people talking about what Seroquel has done to them. Mm-hmm. This trial is going to shine a bright light on what Big Pharma has been doing to people in in this country, starting with the opioid epidemic and moving on from there.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's like people want to point a finger at somebody. The problem is it's a lot of somebodies, and the last of which is Lindsey Clancy. I hate to tell you.
No, 1,000%. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube, where you're talking there about the prosecution of Lindsey Clancy, what we're likely to be seeing here in the coming weeks at trial.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's talk about what justice actually looks like in this case. Three kids are dead. Cora was 5. Dawson was 3. Callan was 8 months. Whatever this jury comes back with, none of that changes. So the only question left is what we actually want a courtroom to do about it. So the big question is, what exactly does justice look like? And are we going to get to justice, you know, quote unquote? It's another bumper sticker type phrase that people like to throw around when they want things to go in one direction or the next. One of the things that struck me here in this is the judge said, you know what, we're not going to let these women who the defense had found, who've been through postpartum psychosis, testify about it, to give their experience, to help the jury understand what it's like from a first-person perspective to be living through such an experience and remarkably survive it as well. There are expert witnesses that the judge is allowing to come on, doctors, to explain it, but the women who've lived it, the judge said, no, the jury can't hear from you. Can we get to justice, quote unquote, if the courtroom is actively prohibiting the jury from getting the context of the very problems they're trying to litigate?
Allie and I had an amazing conversation about this, in that ruling.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the day, like, I understand and agree with what Kevin was saying, Kevin, her attorney, you know, because, and I put it this way to Allie, if you're a juror, what is going to be the most instructive, helpful thing for you as a juror to hear about the realities from people that have actually lived it in comparison to an expert that has probably never experienced it firsthand and is just talking about it? Mm-hmm. There's a certain weight that can only come from those that have lived it, that an expert will never be able to fill that gap. That's where I worry about in the case. Because it would have a huge impact if they could parade 30 people into that courtroom and say, I lived this. This is what my experience was. And having the jurors hear it firsthand from people that have no reason to come into that courtroom and lie. They'd be forced to deal with the reality that this does exist in the world, and this is what it can look like, and this is what it can result in. That being said, the counter argument ultimately is that if we allowed that to happen, that it would ultimately end up in being 30 mini trials. Like every single person that would come into that courtroom, oh, well, so you went... you were psychotic, but you didn't kill your kids, did you? Oh, you got in a car and drove. You know, it was the argument that was being made in the courtroom, and it's the correct argument.
Because
it could work against Lindsey. We say, okay, well, look, this person went psychotic and she handcuffs herself to the bed. That's what she did. She didn't kill her. You know what I'm saying? And like, so when you're talking about, again, every story is its own case.
Yeah.
Every individual is their own person. No two people are the same. Where I feel that the weight of that would be incredibly powerful, I worry about the other side of it.
And sure, and there's,
yeah. So
yeah, there's a second, there's another side to that coin, and I think that you spelled it out very, very eloquently there on what that means. Because true, I mean, if they were to allow that, I mean, as much as I completely agree, I think they'd be incredibly powerful.
Yeah.
But would it be prejudicial somewhat? I mean, then could the prosecution then parade in 15 other women who've gone through this who are not remotely sad about it or remorseful, and you could have a parade of people that, oh my God, look at these monstrous people who've come in here who are psychotic, and they're like, yeah, I'm glad the kids are gone, you know, in their own story. I mean, probably hard to find that, but you could flip the coin and flip it the other way of, yes, these ones survived it this way, these ones have a very different outlook on it, and these are all individual cases that are not this specific case. So I hear you there.
Yeah.
But what good, I guess, the biggest question, what good, and this is like the biggest question I have for the state, the DA, what good comes from putting a disabled woman, a physically disabled woman, a woman who has suffered from this mental disability now, in prison forever, who will forever hold the grief of what this mental illness did to her and her children those years ago? I fail to see how that is justice in this case for those children.
I mean, Todd just threw up a comment. I don't know whether it was accidental or if he meant to, but it was Angie9267 said, guilty, but insane, in my opinion, allegedly. Yeah. But she did strangle her three young kids. That's where this case lies with people. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like people cannot put the act aside. Yeah. People just live in the act being the fact that she unalived her three kids. Like that act for some people, and I am no one to judge. Everyone is allowed their opinion on this case. It is a very, very difficult case. All I can ever ask is to have an open mind and listen to the evidence, because maybe, just maybe, you'll learn something that you didn't know in terms of mental illness. So, I mean, that's where it lives, man. It's an eye for an eye. Somebody has to pay for it. And unfortunately, they didn't charge the medical providers or the institutions that did it or Big Pharma, because they can't, even though the real responsibility, in my estimation, lies with those medical providers, with Big Pharma, because ultimately, man, it's inexcusable in terms of the deviation from the standard of care that took place with every single doctor that she saw, them not having any knowledge of what she was on prior to and just continuing to pile on is absurd.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, it's if you were to go to a gas station and they were to you end up pumping Red Bull into your engine, and then your car obviously doesn't function correctly. It's 30% Red Bull and 70% gasoline, and everything goes to shit, and your car fails, and you're on the highway, and you cause a big accident. They're not going to be looking necessarily at the driver of the vehicle or the vehicle. They're going to, who the fuck put Red Bull in the gas? I mean. That would be the problem. That, like, who decided this was a good idea? And then you go to the next one, and they're doing Monster Energy in their gasoline, and cars are crashing. I mean, these sort of things would be looked at the source, but we live in a country where these sort of institutions, if you will, are so legally protected from prosecution that when the villagers have their pitchforks and their flames, they want blood. They want somebody. And since they are so protected, well, it looks like Lindsay's the one that they're going to be going after. If those weren't so protected in the way that they are from prosecution criminally, do you think she'd even be on trial? Do you think there'd be this much vitriol against the woman if simply on a public stage, a public forum, a courtroom, those entities could face true charges for their incompetence? Would the public be feeling this? Is this more the public wants their villain, and that is the true villain, but since we can't go after them, they're going after her instead.
Well, we can, but it's civilly and it doesn't have the same impact.
Yeah. No, no.
That's just money. And, yeah. and big pharmaceutical companies don't give a fuck if they have to pay out, you know, $300 million.
Yeah, it's baked in already. Yeah.
It's baked into their, it's you know, it's one of the hazards of their trade. So, like, as far as that goes, man, yes. Do I think that there would be, like, a positive impact on holding them responsible criminally? Absolutely. You know, but like the big question is, how do you do it? Who's the person responsible? Are you putting big pharma? I mean, it's like, go watch the second or third season, or maybe it was the first season of Goliath, which was fucking great.
Yes,
right? Like, and you know, I mean, and that like really went to the heart of it. And, you know, like Dope Sick, like there's, it's out there for people if they're willing to kind of dig into what big pharma is doing to all of us. Mm-hmm. And somebody had asked a great question. Allie had said, and I wanted to address it. It was up a little. So Allie Foley had said, Bob, do you think that there's a big problem with people thinking these meds are an instant fix when they aren't? Yes.
Yeah.
But of course, look, the pharmaceutical trade in terms of, like, I don't know if you remember, Tony, back in like when I was getting out of law school, pharmaceutical reps, they would always hire beautiful young women to go like to go into doctor's offices and push their shit. And they'd say, and you know, so when doctors are when they're prescribing something to people, that is something that big pharma has come in and sold them to say, okay, look, you know, I know these other companies have this shit, but our shit's the good shit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've got somebody to sell it to you. This is what we want you to push. And those doctors aren't digging into the FDA shit. They're not looking at what the black box warnings are. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, I've never had a doctor prescribe something wherein they go into a laundry list of the, you know, the negative impact that the drug can have on you. Right. So it's like, you know, doctors will hand you a brochure. Yeah. Read up on it. You know,
isn't that your job?
Yeah, thanks, as a doctor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, absolutely. I think that's a huge issue, you know, and the other part of it is that there is medication out there that helps with bipolar and, you know, manic depressive type stuff is, I think, can be handled through pharmaceuticals. But, you know, the problem with a lot of these drugs that are kind of driving at some of the more intense mental health diseases and that are effective is that when the people take them for an extended period of time and they work, mm-hmm. they then think they've become cured.
Yeah.
So inevitably what they end up doing is they don't like the way that it makes them feel.
Yeah.
Like globally, totally. There's something that makes them feel not normal. But even though they're not having the delusions and the things that they were dealing with, you know, and so what they do is they get off their meds and they'll do it secretively. They won't tell their family members that they're off their meds. And then of course, they slip right back into the illness. And it's like that vicious cycle because the drugs do impact you. They do make you feel a certain way. And that way is not normal, but it's allowing your mind to operate in a way that you're able to function in society again, you know? So it's like, I mean, we know so little about the human mind, like in general, even the most brilliant doctors on the planet, like know very little, you know?
Well, something I was thinking of earlier in this case, you know, we look back in time, 120 years ago, leeching would have been a common practice. I mean, it makes me wonder 100 years from now, how they're going to be looking back at our point in times and specifically our court system, as we were talking about earlier, how it barely recognizes mental health as being a core issue to half the things we talk about if they're going to look back on that shit going, wow, they were really off base on how they
handled things, bro.
That's like some Stone Age shit that mental health wasn't part of the equation here. Holy shit, it's all of the equation. One more in Massachusetts,
I know,
but we only got so much time.
I know.
In Massachusetts, a first degree conviction is life. There's no parole. The judge doesn't get a say. It's pretty black and white and how that gets doled out, which makes the decisions of a judge even more important as far as what he allows in or what he allows out in a case like this without prejudice. In your opinion, Bob, thus far in, and we've talked about some of the decisions that are made, how do you feel about the judge so far? Is this a fair judge that's handling this case?
I feel like he is. You know, he made a negative ruling for the defense yesterday regarding some late disclosed experts that they argued before they started picking the jury. And, you know, I think he's a thoughtful judge. I think he's a seasoned judge. I don't think this is his first rodeo. And I think that he's been pretty even-handed, to be honest with you. I'm not getting any kind of like, this guy's a shitbag judge and he doesn't know what he's talking about. I felt quite the opposite. And I feel that he's pretty open with his decisions and he's thoughtful. And I think he gives both sides grace to get their arguments out. So I have a lot of respect for him. In terms of the decision he made yesterday, I mean, he upheld, you know, the motion by the state to exclude these witnesses that the defense disclosed late. But he said, look, you know, you've got your experts for the lack of criminal responsibility. They're set in stone, right? That like, and that's where the heart of the case lives. Like if these doctors, one of them being La Posada, which all the people that are Reed people are going to like, oh, we love Dr. La Posada. And she's a fabulous witness. She truly is. But like, she was going to be getting into other things in terms of like, if the state is going to try to basically imply to the jury that Lindsey Clancy's fall from the window, which she became a paraplegic from, was all just window dressing. And then, you know, she had like done it just to make it seem like, you know, and things went terribly wrong for her and she ended up breaking her back. You know, like if they were going to go that route, that they were going to bring La Posada on to try to counter that argument. So the judge was like, ultimately where he granted the motion for the state, he did say, you know, look, after their opening and the state goes first, if it appears that that's the route they're going to take, I'm going to revisit it for you to the defense. And we'll have that discussion. If you think you're going to need to call them, then, you know, I'll revisit it. So, to me, the guy's been even handed. And that's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
Like, I just want a judge that's going to follow the law, you know?
He ain't gull.
He ain't gull, bro.
He ain't no gull.
Yeah. Oh, boy, and I might have a gull story for you down in a couple weeks, buddy, that's going to blow your fucking mind.
Oh, I can hardly wait.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, then we'll wrap up our conversation here on that. We'll be covering this for the next several weeks. I know you guys are covering it over on Defense Diaries every single day as well. So be sure to go check out Defense Diaries. Press subscribe, YouTube, wherever you get podcasts to check out Bob and Ali's coverage over there. And
yes, Buried, my pride and joy podcast. I'd like Todd to come on as a independent listener of the podcast and tell the people what he thinks about Buried. Because me talking about what a great podcast and Tony, who's my dear friend, doesn't carry as much weight because, you know, he's my guy. Todd, who's also my guy. But, you know, Todd independently came up to me, Buried inside the John Wayne Gacy investigation. Todd was like, man, we were listening to it on the way to Tony's wedding. They had a long drive. And you made my heart beat in my chest. You made it just look like grow two sizes because your rave reviews meant everything to me. So thank you for that, Todd.
Well, I went into it thinking it was just going to be, you know, 10, 11, 12 episodes. It was going to be the tapes and your take on it and all this. And then the doors got blown open. You blew the doors open on some stuff, Bob. And after every episode, me and the other people in the car driving down to the wedding just sat there with our mouths wide open. And we hated to stop and get gas because we had to stop the podcast in order to go do that. And we did have to take bathroom break. It's absolutely incredible. If you think you know this story, if you think there's nothing more out there on this story, it's going to blow your mind.
Thank you for that. Like I mean, I couldn't say anything better than that. So thank you for that, Todd. I really appreciate that.
You got it. Good stuff.
Go check that out wherever you get podcasts. It is a great listen, especially if you're going like they were on a road trip coming to the wedding. Yeah. It's a great road trip listen, without a doubt. So if you still got a summer road trip in store, be sure to check that out. All right. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you're listening to this show and be sure to give us your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'll continue our conversations right there. Until next time, for Bob, for Todd, and for Robin, I'm Tony Brewski. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
What's up, Uso? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.